wonderful decision to be a part of worship today, our worship to our Father. It matters to our God. And every day as we get up, it matters how we live, because we're living for Him. We exist on this earth because we're living for God. This month, we've tried to remind ourselves, at least last week and this week and the weeks come to come, of the importance of living. There are so many times in our lives that we probably expect God to do this, expect God to do that, but in reality, we sometimes forget to thank God for what He has done. So as we enter our sermon today, our sermon time, let's begin with a prayer. Father, we are so thankful to You for who You are. We are thankful for Your love. We are thankful for Your forgiveness through the gift of Your Son. We are thankful that Your Son was willing to die on behalf of every sin and every person who's ever existed. We're thankful, Father, that You designed the church that we could be a part of. We're thankful, Father, that we have the church family here at Azalea City. We're thankful for those who have talents to lead us in singing, to lead us in reading of Your Word, to lead us in prayer, to lead us in reminding of the importance of the sacrifice of Your Son. Father, we're thankful that today we've had the opportunity to worship. Father, we're thankful for Your written Word as we can open it up and know exactly the plan to be able to get back to You. We're thankful, Father, that we have Jesus who is that plan. Father, as we go into our sermon time today, help us to examine our hearts, our minds, our souls, our all. And Father, we're thankful that if we find that we fall short, that You're willing to forgive. We offer this prayer in Christ's name. Amen. You know, there's a question. You get a lot of questions in life, right? Questions in life that sometimes can be challenging. I'm going to give you one of those questions this morning, and I want you to just ponder on it for a moment. The question that reveals the heart. This question to me is very simple, but it's very critical. It's going to tell you exactly what you want to know, more importantly, what God wants to know this morning, and that question is, where are we? You see, I know where we are physically, right? We're right here at Azalea City. You're sitting in those pews. I'm standing on this stage. It's the same situation, though, that God, when He found out that Adam, or He realized that Adam and Eve had realized that they knew sin. You recall that moment, right? They had eaten of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and instantly they realized they didn't have clothes on. And so they were going and they were hiding. They hear God coming, and so they're trying to hide from Him. Don't want to play hide and seek with God, I promise you that. But when He has contact with Adam, He asks him, Adam being the patriarch of the family, He spoke directly to Adam. He said, "Where are you?" It wasn't like He didn't know Adam was hiding behind some bushes. He knew where Adam was physically. The question had to be, Adam, where are you spiritually? Where are you as the leader of your family? Where are you in relationship with Me? And that same question has to be asked about us today. Where are we? Right now, do you find yourself a thankful person? Or are we sitting there as ungrateful children who belong to the greatest giver of all? You see, Paul writes, as we studied last week, in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything, give thanks. For this is, get this, the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do you realize His will for us is to be thankful, to be full of gratitude, to be full of appreciation. That's who God created. What happens, though, is we allow the world to flood into our lives and we become like the world, unappreciative. We become like the ungrateful child. You know, I remember as a child receiving presents from my grandparents. And I love my grandparents. They've gone on to their reward. But I'm going to date myself. Y'all remember Gafers, right? You would get the present from your grandparents and instantly know it's not a toy because it's wrapped by Gafers. And you open it up and the box says Gafers. And your mom and dad have told you, no matter what, you be thankful. And you open it up and it's like church socks, underwear, something like that, you know? It's really hard to show gratitude in that moment as a child, right? Even though those things are critical, you need underwear and socks and all that stuff. But the reality is, that's how we are sometimes as adults, as Christians, as leaders even in our family. We're opening up the necessities of life and saying, this is not good enough. It's not what I want. It's not the toy, that shiny toy that I need parked in my driveway. And we become full of ingratitude. You see, gratitude, thankfulness, is not a suggestion. As we just saw in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, it is a command. But it's a command that's wrapped in grace. You see, God's will for His people is that we learn to give in gratitude. And we do that with everything. You know, then giving is not a hardship. Because of what God has done for us, remember that's what it says, as we have been blessed, right? We give to God. They're not under the tithing system. We're not under the old law. All those things now, it's as we have been blessed and we've purposed in our heart. But have you really dug deep and said, God, thank you so much. I am so thankful to give this back. Or our time? Our abilities? Or are we grudgingly doing it? If we find ourselves, again, the question is, where are we? If I find myself doing it grudgingly, guess what? I've forgotten how to be thankful. So I want to pause for just a moment and ask you to take a little spiritual survey. If I ask you to answer right now, and do it to yourself, in your life, as it sits right now, what is one word that you would use to describe you? Not a sentence, not a story, a word. I don't know what that word is, but would you say that the word is busy, tired, stressed? Or would the word be blessed? When's the last time we spent more time thanking God for what we do have than asking God for what we don't have? I know it's not natural. Even though it's the will of God, the natural thing in society is to be expectful, not thankful. But thankfulness has to be intentional. I have to set my mind and my heart and my attitude on today, I'm going to be thankful for what has happened to me, whether good or bad. You see, thankfulness is the mark of a heart that remembers who God is and what God has done. So as we go into this, as if you find yourself not being able to answer blessed, this lesson is going to hopefully give you some things that will help change that. Let's start off with number one. If we're going to truly be thankful people, if we're truly going to live in gratitude, not just in the month of November, but every day of our lives, if we're going to live and please God, we need to remember the source. We need to remember who is the Lord. If you'll recall, in Exodus 5:2, Moses had gone before Pharaoh. Pretty big step, right? He's got to go before the king of all Egypt, really the king of the world, so to speak, because Egypt, they had the region, they had the power, they had the resources, they had everything it took to rule the world. He has to go before maybe the most powerful man on earth and say, hey, those people that you got in slavery, you got to let them go. Well, Aaron, his spokesman, his brother, he goes with him. They stand before the throne of Pharaoh, and he says, what do you want? He says, you've got to let those people go. What people? The Lord's. You got to let the Lord's people go. You remember what Pharaoh said? What he asked? Who is the Lord? In other words, on this throne, I've got these people. I'm ruling this world. I'm ruling this life. I am Lord. Well, you'll remember 10 plagues later, he remembered exactly who the Lord was. But the question that Pharaoh asked today, you and I have to get off our thrones and we've got to ask ourselves in our lives right now, who is the Lord? Sometimes we've got to ask it out loud. Sometimes I've got to look at the way I live. Am I living like Yahweh is the Lord? Am I living as God, as leader and controller of my life? You see, we know what the answer is, right? Who is the Lord? He's Yahweh. That means He's the self-existent one. He's Elohim, the strong one. He's Adonai, the master. He's El Shaddai, the almighty. He's Abba, the father who loves his children. That's who he is. Jeremiah declared in Jeremiah 32:17, "Ah, Lord God, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and outstretched arm. Nothing is too hard for you." Have we forgotten who He is? Have we forgotten what He can do? Have we forgotten what He has done? Because when we forget who He is, our gratitude fades. But on the contrary, for who He is, thanksgiving overflows. Why did that song touch so many? When we just talked about, by His wounds we are healed. Because we focus on what God has done, right? Why was it so moving? Because we're thinking about what we're about to partake of in the Lord's Supper. And we're thinking about putting our minds on who died on the cross for us. All of a sudden, we realize in that moment how thankful and blessed we are. Because by His wounds we are healed. Paul wrote in Colossians 1:16-17 that Bubba read to us, all things means what? All things were created through Him. And get this, for Him. And in Him, all things hold together. That's a verse that I think we need to remind ourselves all the time. It wasn't created for you. And it wasn't created for me. It was created through Him. It was created for Him. Everything that we know, it's all about Yahweh. Every breath we have, every step we take, every resource we possess, it's all for God. And it's God who's holding those things together. If we live as if everything was created for us, then we're going to be most miserable. But if we live as if everything was created for Him, you know what that means? Gratitude will not be based on our circumstances. It means it will be rooted then in our character. So today, if you truly, I truly want to be someone who lives every day of our lives in gratitude to God, then I need to get up every day and recognize who is the Lord. Secondly, once I realize who He is, this is how it flows. There should be a response to His greatness. And that response should be worship. And that worship is thanksgiving put in action. You see, if you truly and I truly are thankful, we're going to show it. You've heard kids, they talk about, we get frustrated with them sometimes and we tell them, hey, do you really appreciate, like, thank you, or whatever. And what do you really want? You don't want them to, that's lip service. You want them to show you. Show me how thankful you are. Show me, you husbands, wives, what, we can put it all into the other there together, right? Are we showing our thankfulness? Well, this is the Almighty now. How am I going to respond? Once I realize He is Lord, once I realize He's Yahweh, once I realize He is the Creator, all things were made through Him, for Him, and He's holding all things together. Once I realize who that is, how am I going to respond? Hope I respond like David. When he commanded the Levites in 1 Chronicles 23:30, he said, to stand every morning to thank and praise the Lord, and likewise at evening. Think about that. There are some people today, they can't stand very well, even in this room. There are some people today that can't get on their knees very well. But doesn't it mean even more when we've got our full help, we've got our full everything, for us to stand up and say, thank you, Lord. And I know he said, say, do it in the evening as well, but even in my mindset, I think about falling to my knees in the evening and saying, thank you, Lord. Thank you for everything. David commanded the Levites, the priestly tribe, to stand every morning, thank Him, praise Him, and do it in the evening as well. Their duty was daily thanksgiving. Not once a year in November, but every morning, every evening. If our response to God's greatness isn't worship, then we're missing the boat. And I'm talking about this morning, but I'm talking about tomorrow morning, and tomorrow afternoon, and tomorrow evening, and Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, 100 years from now, every day, same thing if we have breath in our bodies. True worship flows from a thankful heart. A heart that realizes that it's God who sees us in our oppression. You remember in Exodus 3:7, He saw the oppression. It's God who hears our cries. It's God who comes down to deliver. And listen, if I live my life that way, If I have true worship, a true heart, then the songs are going to be even sweeter. The prayers are going to be more special. Reading of His Word is not going to be a chore. Because now I'm living with gratitude. It's the same reason. Don't miss this. The seraphim. You remember we studied angels? There are groups of angels around God. The seraphim. You know what their job was? All day, all night, every day, for all of existence, to be around the throne of Yahweh Himself, chanting, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." We see that in Isaiah 6:3 and Revelation 4:8. Their whole duty in life, holy, holy, holy. God is holy. He is so set apart that we can't really grasp it. His holiness is so amazing. I don't even have a word for it. It's so indescribable. But even though I can't describe it and we can't truly grasp it, we can respond to it. And we should respond to it with awe and gratitude. Gratitude is not emotion driven. It's a decision. It's a decision to honor God with praise even when life hurts. David said in Psalm 34:1, "I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth." You remember, David illustrates that even in his worst of times after Bathsheba. He had sinned with Bathsheba. She gets pregnant. He ultimately kills her husband after lying and covering it up. He then goes and he marries Bathsheba, and you remember it's pointed out to him by Nathan the prophet, "You are a rich man who could have anybody, and you took a poor man's wife." It's then David pens the words to Psalm 51, and you know what he wanted? A clean heart. Why did he want a clean heart? Why was his mind instantly there? Because his attitude is, "I want to bless the Lord at all times. I want to have His praise continually be in my mouth." He wanted to be close to God. He wanted to be near to God. And he didn't want sin to stand in the way. And I can admire that. So that means for us, when life is good, respond in worship. When life is tough, respond in worship. Our lips, our hearts, our minds, our all should say every day of our lives, "Thank you, Lord." Thirdly, once we do that, we're going to learn that we're reflecting His grace. It's beautiful that a holy God, as holy as He is, He still wants a relationship with us, as wretched as we can be. We're not good people, right? Sinners. I mean, that's what makes gratitude powerful to me. The holy God of the universe, despite my flaws, still wants a relationship with me. Romans 3:23 reminds us there that we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Also in that chapter we learn there's none righteous, no, not one. We're sinners, we're imperfect, we're unworthy, but our holy, holy, holy God loved us enough to send His holy Son to make us holy again. The same God who created billions of galaxies knows the number of hairs on your head. The same powerful God who's ruling over all of eternity, He cares about what you're going to do on Tuesday morning. the same powerful God who exists beyond time, He allowed His Son to enter time so that we can spend eternity with Him. Psalm 139 declares, "You have searched me and known me. You're acquainted with all my ways." See, God knows us. I think it's been said, you can fool a fool and you can kid a kid, but there's no fooling or no kidding our God. He knows. You can fool me. You can kid somebody else. We can put on our clothes. We can put on our faces. We can put on our lives. We can come in here and we can put a fake smile on and we can sing and we can worship and all and not know each other. But God does. Now, on some hands, that can be very scary if I'm not right with Him. But today, if I'm right with God, to me, that should build gratitude in our hearts. Because you know what else God knows about you? He knows all your pain. He knows all your fears. He knows what you're weakest at. But He also knows our gratitude. Sometimes He even knows our grumbling. Well, oftentimes He does, but even though we should be grateful people, we do a lot of grumbling. But you know what He says? All that, He still says, "I want you. I desire a relationship with you." That's reason enough to be thankful forever, right? But finally this morning, recognize that picture there, Justin? Once we understand who God is and how we should respond, and that He, no matter what I do, desires me, my perspective must be renewed. Gratitude really does change everything. You see, when we realize the power of God and who God is, it's going to change how we see our problems, how we face our days, and how we are in worship to Him. Gratitude does not deny reality. It just reframes it. Yes, reality is life hurts sometimes. But gratitude reframes it to say God is still good. Sometimes reality says, I may not have everything I want. But gratitude reframes it to say, but I have much more than I deserve. Reality sometimes says, it's not enough. But gratitude reframes it to say, God's grace is more than enough. That's why Paul could rejoice in prison. It's why Job could bless the Lord in loss. It's why Jesus could give thanks even before He went to the cross. Thankfulness, I guess if I could get anything through our minds today, would be this. It's not just using good manners. However, I do think we ought to say thank you to people. But it's not just about good manners. That's not why we preach a whole month on thankfulness. Thankfulness is spiritual warfare. Thankfulness is a weapon to silence the voice of complaint. Thankfulness is a weapon that will defeat bitterness. Thankfulness is a weapon that will turn our focus from what's missing to who is present constantly in our lives. So the question has to be, where are we? Where are we right now? Where are we today? Are we living thankful lives? Or have we allowed ingratitude to come in and steal our joy? The same God who created the world, the same God who delivered Israel, the same God who sent His Son, the same God who raised Him from the dead, is the same God calling you home today. He's not waiting for perfection. Thanks be to God, right? He's waiting for surrender. So today, tear down the walls. Let go of the will. Allow the great I am to seize control. And today, choose to show thanks. Not with our words, but with our life. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Because when we remember who He is, we can't help but be thankful. So that same God who holds the galaxies in His hand, does He hold your heart? You see, today, if you're ready to live a life of gratitude, you're ready to live a life of obedience, you're really ready to live a life of hope, there's only one thing to do, and that's come. Walk this aisle. Confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Be immersed in water for the forgiveness of all your sins, to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, and to be added to His kingdom, the church. Today, if we've done that, and we've forgotten how great that is, we need to repent. We need to walk forward. If we need to do it in our seats, all of that, we have the opportunity to do it right now. As together, we stand and sing.